It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and the ones we can count on to help us live out our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves, so if you're feeling like Black Opal Beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too. Because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. So far in advance, I don't even know what day it is because we're recording like last year. We're so ahead. We're a year ahead. We're a whole 365 calendar days ahead. You have Grey's Academy. It's your two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. It is a beautiful day here. I don't know what it is there. I mean,
it is absolute trash.
Yeah, like it's raining and sad.
Actually, no, it's raining at like 72. So I'll take the 72. Oh.
Anyways, real quick before we start. We have realized that in the last episode that released, which was Something's Gotta Give, there was something going on with my microphone, and you could hear every breath that I took when Carmen was speaking.
Every breath you take.
It sounded like when Carmen was speaking, I had the microphone in my lungs because of how ridiculous the breathing was. So we're working on a solve for that. So I am sorry if that bothered anybody. I was like, you could also hear every time I like picked anything up or put down my water bottle, or I had a pen I was clicking, which arguably I shouldn't do that, but I've done it before and it did not pick it up. So anyways, last week the microphone was doing a lot of work. Related, if anyone wants to send me a free microphone or an interface, that would be great, because I need a new one.
But a good one. We don't need we don't need shitty anythings.
Yeah,
we
actually anyways.
Yeah,
it's, wanted to address that.
Yeah, it's a funny story because we had Kelsey has a really good two really good microphones, and she has an interface, and she had a good interface, and then the one interface died, and now
the
it's
other
just
one
like
I have is garbage, so I don't use it, so it's just plugged directly into the computer. It's just less options, less control, more work that Carmen has to do on the editing side. Anyways, we're trying to deal with it. Apologies.
Yeah. So we decided.
Carmen told me not to breathe because he wants me to die.
No, I said I don't want our listeners to die. You're killing them. What's the name of the kid in Hey Arnold that breathed in the corner? Was it like Sid or something?
I think it might be Sid.
Every time
remember,
Olga
though.
Would walk by,
yeah,
he would just
was
be in the
in
corner
love
going.
With her. Yeah, that was basically what it sounded
that
like.
That wasn't you. Your breath sound a little bit more graceful than that guy, if it makes you feel any better.
Thank you, thank you. Anyways, so yeah, we're addressing that. Sorry for the problem. Hopefully it's fixed now. Send
and if
me a
you're
microphone.
A fan of ASMR, hopefully you really, really liked that episode.
Yeah.
I didn't. It didn't bother me, but I will see what I can do in the editing process. I think you're great. Don't
Sorry for breathing air, guys. Sorry for being such a burden.
I need it.
Wow, that
All
was
right.
terrifying.
We got some shout outs.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I got a shout out. We have a new review, but it's international. So we had to look it up on our chart page. So Linda Canada 1966. The title is Fun and Entertaining Podcast. 5 stars. Fuck yeah. It is, the body of the review is, I love listening to this podcast and would recommend it to Grey's fans! Exclamation point. Carmen is hilarious and hearing his reactions and predictions keeps the podcast fun and engaging. He and Kelsey have a nice friendship, which makes listeners feel at home and welcome. Great Grey's content. 2 exclamation points. It is obvious they put a lot of work and love to provide this content for us. 2 exclamation points. So from Canada, Linda!
Thank you so Thank much, you. Linda. Also, Carmen sent me that screenshot when we got that, and it made me laugh because I was like, nice friendship. And I understand she's being kind, but the fact that she gave that review, like, right when our episode dropped where we were I was like so mad at Carmen because he wouldn't shut up about impaled people donating their organs.
Which they can.
I was like, nice friendship. And I was like, not how I would describe us.
And it's funny because on the heels of that, I'm going to shout out Sarah because she sent us, I think, the same message on Instagram that says, you guys give me such, her sister was a witch, yes. Right? Vibes. And I think that's part of why I love y'all so much. True. Laugh emoji.
And then someone, I think it was, I cannot remember who it was, on Discord said, we love a good friendship fight to start the day or something yes. like that. Yes. Yeah, we did discuss it afterwards. We were like, it's been a while since we've had a really good one of those. So hopefully that really filled everybody's cup for our secret occasional loathing that has to come out.
Yeah, it's, it comes from a place of love for sure. But it's like the way that you fight with your siblings.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, maybe you guys at home. And I think you and your sister fight differently than maybe my and my siblings fight. Because if I fight with my siblings and I really believe that they were wrong and that I was right, I just wouldn't talk to them anymore. You, I'm like, hey, I'll see you. Fuck you. See you next week.
Hey, let's just continue recording this podcast.
Yeah. And by the time the second part came out, we were pretty good. Fine. And it was like it never happened.
As soon as. Like the ad break, and that's not true because yeah. I did say I was still mad, but like 5 minutes later, I was like, whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I forget how Carmen is as a human being, and I let it get to me. But the reality is, I just can't do that because I have to just let you be.
It's are you saying it's tough being around someone who knows all?
No, I'm saying it's tough being around you, which is the opposite of what you just said. So.
It is funny I say that about myself and how awesome I am, though, because we were watching Lion King. We finally finished Lion King last night.
Goodness.
Also, I don't know what it was, but the second we hit play, I was emotional the whole time. Like, I felt myself on the verge of anything could have made me cry the rest of that movie. And, like, when he runs into Rafiki and he's
saying, oh, that's such a good scene. The music, the score in that is like
so good. And he's like running through the desert and mm-hmm, all that. And then mm-hmm. Mufasa comes from the clouds and he's remember who you are. And I'm like sitting there looking at Marlo going, I'm just so proud. I could cry at anything. Yep. So we finally finished watching that movie, but when they're singing, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I asked Jess, I was like, who are the singers in this? Because I don't know who the singers
Elton
are.
John.
Well, no. He's not singing it. He's not singing. It's because it's a girl and a guy. He's not singing it in the movie. But
he sings the credit one.
Yeah. And then he goes back. And then Jess looks it up and she lists the names. And then she goes, but do you know who wrote this song? And I go, yeah, Elton John. And she's like, yes. How did you know that? I'm like, I feel like that's common knowledge. He's like,
that's common sense, I fear.
So, because I knew that he wrote the songs and he wrote a lot of the scores, but the one that's in the actual movie, he's not singing.
Yeah, there's one that plays during the credits that he sings.
Yes. Yeah. But is it a duet?
Yeah. Maybe.
Because who sings? I don't remember. We as soon as the credits hit, we turned it off because Marlo was like, can I watch another one? And I'm like, you want to watch all of The Lion King again? It is bedtime. It is 9 o'clock at night. What do you mean? Anyways, good times. Also, that was a deep breath that you were all meant to hear. I purposely breathed right into the microphone on that one.
I'm not allowed to breathe anymore, so.
Well, you can breathe. All right. Any other shout-outs that you have on your end that you would like to give?
I'm just going to shout out Joe again because he emailed again because he's caught up now.
Oh, Joe from Orlando.
Yes.
Yes.
My sister's father-in-law. So... hello, Joe. Thank you so much. I love getting the emails. He did say, because I had said I have that thing where, like, when people that I actually know in real life listen, sometimes I'm like, oh, God, what if I say something that's too much? And he said, he goes, no worries about the adult language. I've been an adult for a long time. He is very funny. So shout out, Joe.
Joe from Orlando and I are friends on Facebook now, and I am he's great. I'm living
he's
for
amazing
it.
So yeah, just wanted to shout that out. It made me happy. I think that may have been it. Oh, wait, no, that was, I'm so sorry. We do have a new Patreon.
Yes. Don't we have, do we have multiple? Do we have
yes.
two?
Yes. Maddie.
Shout Maddie!
Out. And Joanna.
Joanna!
So, there we go.
Maddie, I think I told you this. Wait, didn't we shout Maddie out last week?
We did shout Maddie out, but what happened was she had been traveling, so it took her a while to get Discord access. So now we're welcoming her to our Discord family.
Yes, yes. And then Joanna! Welcome, welcome. I have another shout out. I want to shout out Diamond, our sweet, mm-hmm, sweet mm-hmm. Alabama Diamond. Was in Chicago and... didn't tell me until Sunday.
Well, so, you're not in Chicago, so.
But I would have gone. I would have gone to Chicago to see. If you're in Chicago, let anyone who's in Chicago let me know. If I can make it to see you, I will. I will drive to Chicago for a selfie, so that you could say I saw Carmen walking down the street and I didn't spoil the show. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyways, and then Alicia sent me a really cool mashup of. Mr. Brightside and Helena by My Chemical Romance. It was really, really great. And trying to think, there's another Angie sent. We were talking about Psych and a lot of responses on my Instagram. Did you see this? Carla also messaged me. So shout out Carla. The term that they're using for dudes who just fly on planes and look directly at the screen the whole time and they don't listen to music, they don't watch movies.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
They're just calling it raw-dogging.
Raw-dogging, yeah.
They need to there needs to be a better name for this.
Well, yeah, because raw-dogging is fucking without a condom, so.
Right.
And so it was weird to me that that was the term that was coined to it, but also not weird based on the type of men that they are saying are doing this. It tracks, yeah. Is what I mean.
I guess, yeah. I just, it's not something that I don't care if the flight is 45 minutes. I'm not raw dogging it. I'm not going to just stand there and or sit there and watch. I'm not looking forward to that. So.
Okay, let's start. Then,
wait,
oh,
well, last thing.
Go ahead.
Last thing.
So sorry.
I'm just, sorry. I'm just going to read the most recent dad joke from Renee. Again, I haven't seen this one. I like that this is like a Russian roulette of like what's is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? What is the worst insult you can say to a ghost? Get a life. Oof. Nice.
It's a sick burn.
Sick burn. All right, Kelsey, take it away.
Okay, welcome. This episode
Hello.
Is a good episode, in my opinion. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm interested to see if what I think Carmen's reactions are going to be will be what they actually are. Mm-hmm. I could have worded that better, but let's
no,
get into
you were
it.
You are perfect,
oh,
and your breaths
so
are
true.
Totally in sync. It's perfect. You are Kelsey. Listen, you are crushing it.
Thank you so much. Okay.
I have to, like, over-exaggerate our friendship now because people think, like, we hate each other or something. I don't know.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. We don't hate each other.
So, so much love.
This is the 10th episode of the 7th season. It is episode 136 overall. It is called Adrift and at Peace, and that is a song.
Adrift and at Peace is a song from the double studio album. It's titled Still. It was part of the album titled And All That Could Have Been. It was part of a deconstructed version of a previous song. And Nine Inch Nails released this album January 22nd, 2002 from Nothing and Interscope Records. So Nine Inch Nails, full disclosure, not a huge fan of the band in general. I don't have any... specific beefs with them, but it's just not music that I specifically gravitate towards, because they are kind of like they're on the harder side of things.
Yeah
Which is not
Trent
usually
Reznor,
my...
who was the front man for Nine Inch Nails. After they stopped, I don't know if they still are a band, but at some point he started writing scores for movies. So he did the score for Social Network, which is one of my favorite movies.
Oh.
And the score for it is like amazing. I think he did such a good job. I think he was nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if he won an Oscar, but anyways, that's my fun Nine Inch Nails fact.
I love that. I didn't even know that. So anyways, this song is an instrumental. So it does not have any lyrics, so I can't really speak to the lyrics, but I will tell you, as someone who's listened to this podcast for a couple of weeks now, you probably know I'm not a huge fan of the instrumental songs, so I did not download it. It does get a 1 from me, not getting added to the iTunes library, but it is kind of like, I actually did a quick search on it, and Reddit, there's a Reddit thread about this song.
Interesting.
And a lot of people like to use this as their wake-up song. So it kind of has like an airy... Yeah, it has kind of like an airy, like peaceful kind of... It's like if you're the kind of person who likes the alarm going off to be the bomb sound, the nuclear explosion sound that Apple has.
It's like a fucking nightmare. I cannot believe people do that.
If that's how you want to get woken up in the morning, this song is not for you to wake up to. This is like you're the kind of person who has a timed shade riser in your home.
The dream.
Whereas the sun rises, the shade rises with you. If you're a natural riser, this song might be for you. So that's what I got. And it didn't chart. The album itself also did not have a charting, but there was a DVD connected to it too. So
here's my question, and I know I've done this before. I have to go back to it again. You don't enjoy this mainly because it's an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a good piece of music?
The music is fine.
That's where I get confused about the rankings.
So this is, to be clear, my ranking system is a moving target every week.
Yeah, that's why because I sometimes have to come back and be like, "What? Let's recenter ourselves on this." Because I feel like it's
totally
fine if it's
subjective.
Not for you. But I do what, like, it's harder, I feel like, with just an instrumental. I'm like, unless it's just like slamming around as the instrumental, like, I feel like it's probably more than a 1. It's just not something you like.
Yeah,
so
but
I sometimes just want clarification.
This is a song that was a fine instrumental, but I also didn't like it. But also, I'm not going to go back because there are songs that I can sit here and go, subjectively speaking, this is not my type of music, but objectively, the lyrics are really good or stuff like that.
Right. So where are
also,
you this week?
I'm feeling really subjective this week. So
okay,
one,
so this is
zero.
Just
terrible
about
song.
You.
This
is
all
not
me.
About the
yeah.
quality of the music or the quality of the writing of the music.
Yeah.
Or performance, whatever it may be. Okay, because sometimes I just feel like you have said like, oh, I don't like it, but it's really like, it's well done, so it's a 4. And that's where I'm sometimes confused.
Yeah, to give you another example, there is a song on the new album, One More Time by Blink-182. And it's one that I skip every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to delete it from my iTunes library because objectively, factually speaking, it is still a Blink-182 song. It is a Blink-182 song. I'm not going to delete it from my library. However, subjectively, I skip it every single time. So I'm kind of floating in between there right now. Just kind of, you know,
I feel like sometimes I have to clarify.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you bring that up because next week I might act like this conversation never happened. So we'll see.
That would not be surprising.
Well,
but we have both video and audio evidence that it did.
But there's no proof that AI didn't generate these clips
and that's
or these
where
videos.
I have to hate him. Shit like that. Shit like that is why I have to hate him. You guys, I love him. You know I love him, but I do. I have no choice but to hate him.
I'm being deep faked right now. And this is just you're just talking to your sister and you're looking at your sister on camera.
She would agree with me. If she was deep faking as you, she would go, yeah, you have to hate me. I'm the worst.
Listen, I want to give Kelsey some credit here. It is tough to be my friend sometimes. And I'm acknowledging that this is one of those moments. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, just like Callie talking to little Santa on the desk, I'm still awesome. Okay.
Oh my God. That was so funny. Okay. Oh. Sorry. Sorry. I had to tangent us that immediately.
No, this is great because that was fun. I'm actually crying. Like, this was so funny. This was a funny conversation.
Okay, so this episode was written by Tony Phelan and Joan Rader, who we have seen so many times. And, like, I just gotta say, they fucking nailed this shit.
It's a good episode.
This episode hit some, like, high highs and some low lows. And it was one of the funniest episodes I feel like we've had in a while, which is amazing because it really hits some not funny shit at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, they just, so many one-liners that I wrote down. I just feel like they have been with in the writer's room, I think, since season one. So I just feel like they have such a good understanding of these characters, because sometimes when I think people get in there and they bring in the humor to make it funnier, we lose the depth sometimes. But with them, I feel like every time they get the full range for the characters. So I really think they're such a good team.
I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little bit of a spoilie, but I want you to take a second and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When Shonda leaves the show,
mm-hmm.
do most of the writers stay or do they go with her?
I think a good amount of them stayed. Also,
okay.
The thing with writers' rooms, to my understanding, is it works differently on different shows.
It's so like a think tank more than...
The showrunner will come in and be like, this is what I'm thinking plot wise, and just kind of give the writers for the episode like free rein. And sometimes like there's writers for different characters, like, oh, you're going to write all the jokes for this character and you're going to write everything for this character. And they kind of meld it together. And then like the writer who's credited is the one that kind of merges it all together. And then I could be just talking out of my ass, but I've listened to other podcasts about other shows that have writers on it. And this is what I've gathered from those people talking about their different experiences. And there are some writers' rooms where the showrunner is like, really, really like, I have to approve every single word, every single line. Like, you're going to write it, but I could just change it as much as I want.
Yeah.
So there's just such a variation, and there's some where I feel like we have so many writers that we see over and over again. And then we have some that just come in for like one episode. So that's interesting to me because I'm like, did they just bring them in? Cause they maybe like Shonda knew them or she liked their work from something else and then it didn't work out. Like, I just am intrigued by the concept of when a different person comes in and then we never really see them again.
Right.
So clearly there's different structures for it, but I do love the episodes that are written by the people that we, no, like obviously Shonda, Tony Phelan and Joan Rader, Krista Viernoff, obviously, like we see so many people over and over again. Same with directing. I do think with directing, you get more of the one-offs.
Okay. I think the farther we get into season seven, mm-hmm. we're getting season 10 is where she leaves after season 10. Right. So
yeah.
I'm kind of living in this world right now. And this is like a vulnerable fan moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys all have hindsight. I'm getting nervous because the show is really, really good right now.
Yeah.
And if there's writers that stick with the show, good. But then, like, okay, I'm curious to see what the vision changes and, like, kind of where things go. And we're still obviously going to take it all one at a time.
There's a noticeable tone change. I remember watching it and being like, why does this feel different? And Googling it and being like, oh. That's why I was not entrenched in as much as I was entrenched in like the actor side of the drama. Like I knew everything that was going on with Katherine Heigl, everything that was going on with what's his face who played Burke when he was like using slurs against T.R. Knight, which is bad and wrong. So like I knew a bunch of that, but I didn't know about the Shonda drama. I didn't even learn about the Disneyland ticket situation until we were doing this podcast, which is still.
Oh, wow.
Still I hope that dumb. Man is so just dumb. Losing so much sleep. But yeah, I just think that there's noticeable changes as the show goes on. So we'll definitely get to it when we get to it. But
yeah, I don't want this is not like the whole podcast. We're not going to talk about this. But
yeah,
I'm given solace because or I'm taking solace in the fact that like I know it's ultimately going to be okay. And people watch the show, and yes, it's different, but like different is sometimes okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I think about what gives me peace is I think about like Angels and Airwaves. So as a band, their original producer and sound engineer, he was on for the first couple of albums and then he passed away. And since then, they've gone a new direction with like their sound engineering and their tone. But still, there's bangers on their albums. So like, there's still things there. So I'm excited for it. But I just wanted to say that like, I was sitting there actively during this episode today, going like, man, I wonder like, I'm like, we're getting close. Like, we're closer to season 10 than season one at this point. So
yep.
That's all. I just wanted to, you know, just kind of talk through that.
Yeah.
What storyline would you like to tackle? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I have more to say about the fun facts.
Yes.
My bad. This episode was directed by Allison Liddy Brown, aired December 2nd, 2010. So this is our last episode in 2010. This is the mid-season finale for season 7. So the next episode aired early January. So this is like the winter finale.
It makes sense now that there was Christmas music playing throughout the Santa.
We'll get to the making sense of it because I have to disagree on some of it. Just one plot point. Just what I would consider to be a massive plot hole. This episode aired to 11.202 million views. Pretty low. I don't know what's going on because this is a great episode. Netflix and Hulu synopsis. Let's see what we're doing this week. Are we stealing again? Let's find out.
Sure hope so.
Netflix says Teddy directs her efforts and compassion toward a dying patient without the proper insurance to seek treatment. The smallest plot point they could pick. The absolute smallest plot point they could pick.
Truly.
That probably gets the least amount of story time. Oh, for fuck's sake, Hulu. Why are you always being such a bitch?
And that person, early fan favorite for Living in Shondaland.
Oh, no, really?
We've seen that guy before.
Who's to say?
Me. All right, let me just I say.
This. I was excited for you to see him and see your reaction to seeing him here.
Also,
in Seattle.
While you're pulling, when he's not moonlighting over in DC, there is a time change, though, you know, so he really manipulates that time change.
Yeah. So sorry. Hulu is being just a raging whore currently.
But for those of you who couldn't, I don't know what I was going to say. Sometimes my brain just doesn't make sense. But for those of you who are out there listening, we're talking about Jake.
Yes.
Command from Scandal. He is
Henry.
And he was also Sean from Scrubs.
He was also in House for an episode.
I do not remember that, but I do believe that House also had a freaking lot of cameos.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So actually, it's Hulu's different this week, guys.
Ooh, Hulu, they probably said
Hulu
Netflix
might have the win this week.
It wouldn't be hard.
Concerned about Christina, Derek takes her on a fishing trip. Still exclusive of a lot of other points, but more important than the plot that Netflix notates. So I would say that probably Hulu for the win this week.
Yeah, I actually am kind of. Can we start with this plot point, actually, with the Teddy storyline?
The Teddy and Henry?
Yeah, because it's dumb. Like, it's fucking stupid.
Well, speak on that, Carmen.
I'm going to jump to the end here because I think I actually was like kind of vibing along with it until the final scene.
Okay.
When she equates marrying this man, she said, if I don't marry you, it's as if I walked away from a man bleeding out in the street. The comparison to those is kind of where I'm starting to go like, Teddy, like, I actually think I like you more than I think some people in our Discord and our Patreon. Like, you're also not an easy person to like sometimes. This is one of those times where I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Yes, look at him. He's a good looking guy. He's great. But like, this feels like there's an ethical line that's being crossed.
Well, there's definitely, this is insurance fraud.
Yes,
for sure. What she's proposing is an insurance fraud. However, the point I believe to be made is our healthcare system is just royally
correct.
Fucked. Even,
correct.
I mean, this is 14 years ago and even still it is so fucked. But when she says that, I agree. If you're just looking at like the, just take that for what it is on like the surface level, that's correct. But when you like get deeper into it, I think what she's saying is because our hands are so tied, this is the only thing I can do to help you at this juncture. So that is why she is equating it to that. Also, she is coming from a place of just feeling so helpless with the whole Christina thing. So she's like, I simply cannot let this go. I have to do something. Would this proposal, quote unquote, have happened if Christina was not in her PTSD trenches? I don't know. But I see where she is coming from of being like, I have to do something. And at this juncture, this is the only thing I can think to do.
Yeah. So. Also, in my head, headcanon is that it was Olivia that he turned down. That she turned him down.
Yeah. I see. Okay, so timeline-wise, let me just run this by you. This airs December of 2010. The first time he is on Scandal is February of 2013. Just so you have the timeline of his introduction to Shonda. Just so you know.
Okay. So this leapfrogs him into Shondaland.
Well, this is their first time working together.
Yeah.
Who knows if they'll work together again, Carmen? I don't know.
It's fair. It's fair.
Oh, that Scandal rewatch, guys. It is so many things. I'm like, I cannot believe this happened, and I just blacked it out. Like, I'm like, I'm not into having a good time anymore. But it's fine.
Yeah, there definitely is a point where I got with that show where I'm like, I just need to finish it and just be done with it.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not Olivia Pope.
Remember when Gary Clark? Which is the point,
but it's fine.
Remember when Gary Clark was in that show?
Yeah. Well, no, not really, because it's the last season, which apparently is most of what I don't remember. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hold on. This has already been pretty off the rails. Let's take a quick moment for a message.
We talked about nothing.
For our regional sponsors. We talked about something. We talked about a thing.
That's fine.
You know? All right. Sponsors, take it us away. Take us away. Take us to jail.
Oh, my.
And we are back. Thank you. Thank you, Jake Sean Henry, for taking us here. All right.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. It just, obviously, it's, like you said, it's insurance fraud. It didn't feel right. But from the get-go, they kind of make it feel like there's chemistry between Teddy and Henry.
Here's the thing. Is there some chemistry between them because they're both just very attractive people? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Was there way more chemistry with Teddy and the Secret Service man that we'll never see again? Yes.
Yeah. There was more chemistry in the handshake. Well, to be fair, they haven't touched yet. I don't think Henry and Teddy have touched.
That's true. But still, there was like, I mean, I want to know when they wrote the Secret Service man storyline. A couple episodes back. I don't think they changed anything to like play that up. I just think that probably they had so much chemistry, like script wise, I don't think they changed anything. But then because really, if you take just like the dialogue, there's not any like flirting or anything like that. But I think it's all just like the lingering looks and like the handshake and things like that. Because I truly wonder, because if you just read the dialogue, they're not saying anything overly like, oh, look at that. Let's go out.
I wonder if the two of them were like friends outside of Grey's and they're like, hey, let's just fuck with everyone. Right. Yeah. Like, let's make this happen. That's what I feel like. That's what if you and I were in a TV show, we'd be like, look, these two characters could not be more non-sexual.
Right.
Like, let's fuck with everyone at home. And we're just going to have a handshake that just leaves everyone wanting more. And then 20 years from now, everyone's going to be doing a podcast about us. And they're going to go, whatever happened to that scene with the guy and the girl and they shook hands? And they're like, what, the writers really screwed the pooch on that one. It's the exact same thing.
It's not. We have no chemistry, but we have friendship chemistry.
Friendistry.
You guys, sometimes the cops drive by my house and I'm like, what are you doing?
They're patrolling and keeping you safe.
No, don't start with that. Don't start with that bullshit.
There's time they drive by my house, I'm
certainly
excited.
Shit they can be doing.
I leave out donuts.
Do not get me started on my ACAB rants, all right?
What did you just say?
ACAB. I'll tell you later.
Captain from the Moby Dick?
No, not Ahab.
ACAB, like you need a cab, a death cab.
For
a
cutie.
Death cab. Yes. What is ACAB?
I'll tell you later. Okay. So
Project 2025 sucks, right?
Oh, there's not enough time in the world.
I know. There's. I just discovered this yesterday, and I'm.
Oh, you're terrified.
I'm very behind. I'm very behind.
I have some good news about it. Again, we'll get it off air. So yeah, Teddy and Henry, where are your thoughts? I mean, Richard's basically like, he's going to die. Teddy also says something similar. It is interesting seeing him here in Seattle versus seeing him in DC. Very different looks that they're leaning into. Obviously, he's meant to be like 1 foot in the grave here, so he doesn't look great, but he also still looks good.
Just in comparison to
Scandal Jake, Hospital Henry is like lesser of the two.
Yeah, it is weird seeing him in a wheelchair as opposed to on a couch looking at a big screen TV with 12 different monitors.
12 Olivias, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, so obviously they go through and she's like, well, let's see if we can do this pro bono case for him. 200 mm-hmm. days in the hospital in 3 years.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Not a good time.
Well, it made it a little bit less insane when he said 200 in 3 years, because at first I thought he was going to say 200 days straight I've been here. And I'm like, whoa, that is just that's so much.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it is, the medical system in America is the worst. And when Teddy originally goes to Weber and it's like, I just need to do good. Like, I'm on a fight for this guy. Like, it's not bad scene. It's not bad character. Like, it makes sense. It's frustrating as it goes on, because then Weber is like, well, I'll get a board meeting, and mm-hmm. their response is, let's get this guy a life alert bracelet because that's all we can do for this man.
Right. And I don't even think it's a life alert. It's just a medical bracelet.
Like just a bracelet that says what his issue is. Like,
yeah. If he like were to pass out in public and someone found him, they would pick up and say, this man is ill.
It's so way worse than I thought. This is his name.
Yeah. Like literally so much less useful.
Yeah. But then I was confused at the end, even though Bailey interrupts the board hearing meeting, which is so funny.
Yeah.
But when Weber goes back to Henry and is like, hey, we're going to get you set up in the free clinic, I thought that they were just going to keep him in the free clinic. Just like admit him in the free clinic, and then he walks away. And I was confused by that.
They're not really equipped, I think, to like house people in the clinic. But I do think that, they're basically just saying, we're going to do as much of your treatment as we can in the free clinic because you're so poor, which is also our fault because we've bankrupted you by being a hospital.
Yeah. Your life has bankrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah. Speaking of Henry, you might be wondering what his ailment is. Von Hippel-Lindau syndrome / disease.
I was wondering that.
Well, good news. This is a teaching hospital, damn it. And I'm here to tell you, it's not good.
Mm.
So you have, this is one of the harder ones. Lots of things that I cannot pronounce here, but I'm going to do my best. Hemangioblastomas, which I nailed because only of grace. Hemangioblastomas of the brain, spinal cord, and retina. Renal cysts and clear cell renal cell carcinoma. Phenochromocytoma and paraganglioma. Pancreatic cysts. Neuroendocrine tumors. Endophthalmic sac tumors. Broad ligament cystostomomas. Anyways, lots of bad things can lead to vision loss, just incessant pain. They say he has an adrenal tumor, which is bad. He has pancreas issues. He's going to have whatever attack that Richard says he's going to have, and by the time he gets to the hospital, he'll already be dead. So not going great. It can also cause hearing loss, which can be one of the earlier presenting symptoms. Yeah, that's just not good.
All of it sounds terrible.
Also can cause infertility.
Oh, icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Is it genetic? Is it like you pass it down?
I don't think so.
It just you got it.
It is.
I think, you just get it.
I might just have it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is because it says at risk relatives of unknown genetic status. So maybe it is genetic. Avoid tobacco products.
Well,
if you have it, and also probably just in general.
What's the name of the actual disease?
You're at a higher
again?
Race for kidney cancer.
Ulrich von Lichtenstein disease.
Von Hippel-Lindau syndrome. Hmm. They have to do typically. They'll do removal, kidney transplants, removal of partial adrenal ectomy, which they say he has an adrenal tumor, so they probably do something like that. Removal of the pancreatic tumors, obviously, like just a lot of removing of tumors, but like they're just gonna keep coming back, apparently. Unfortunately. So it's definitely a chronic illness or terminal. I don't really, it's hard to say. It's like definitely a longer one. This is also from the National Library of Medicine.
It feels terrible.
Yeah. So they have targeted therapies, supportive care, and then like they basically is one of those things where like, well, we're just going to have to keep an eye on you. And like do our best.
Well, sorry to hear that, Henry, but luckily for you, you got some luck on your side.
Teddy's there.
Yeah. I hope what they do.
Cardio off doctor is here.
I hope that they have a scene where it's like Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds in The Proposal where they're going back and forth and they're getting interviewed by the immigrations guy. And I hope that there's an insurance agent played by Sandra Bullock who comes in and is interrogating the two of them. That's what I hope happens.
I will neither confirm nor deny that.
If Sandra Bullock comes in, I'm going to... Or what if it's Betty... No, Betty White's dead.
Well, she wasn't dead in 2010. Carmen.
Oh, that's right! This is not live. Oh, man.
It's live every Thursday.
I love that we're watching this all in real time with everyone
it's
in America.
Saturday Night Live, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, shit. That's... Gosh. Man. All right. Anyways, anything else you want to add in with this storyline here? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm
curious where it's going to go.
I'm curious for you. What were your thoughts when you saw Scott Foley in the wheelchair?
Is that the actor's name?
Yes.
I was excited. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I say? It was in the elevator scene where Meredith is like mad at Hunt and Teddy's like, well, how's Christina? And Meredith is like, yeah, Owen, how is she? You're doing nothing, right? She's fishing.
Owen is a piece of shit, so.
And then Teddy was like, well, why is she fishing? And Owen says, I don't have any better ideas. Do you? And she says, nope, bye. And then she meets this guy in the elevator. And I'm like, literally, oh shit, it's Jake from Scandal and Sean from Scrubs. And then I got excited.
Yes. Very good.
So my initial reaction was joy and serendipity.
Serendipity. Okay. So yeah, nothing else on that storyline per se. Do you want to just talk about the Bailey trying to cure fistulas?
Oh, she cures them.
Let me say this. I have been sitting on this information for a while. I remember this storyline. I remember her being like, I'm going to cure these fucking fistulas. Because it comes on the heels of Mary dying, I, in my head, was like, this is what Mary died from. Like, I remembered her hyperfixation to me was so, like, timeline adjacent to Mary's death that I was like, this is why Mary dies, and that's why she gets so obsessed with curing them. But it's not. We just never know how Mary dies. And then she just finds the next thing that she can find to, like, that feels like something tangible that she can do.
Because wasn't it her next? It wasn't Mandy Moore.
Yeah,
it was the patient
right
after that.
It was the next patient, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just needed to make that point because I kept being like, when are they going to tell us that fistulas killed Mandy Moore?
And oh, then they don't.
It just didn't. And I was like, oh, I guess that's on me. It's just interesting remembering how I remember things when yeah, I was watching it with less intensity.
The is it the pathologist?
Yeah.
She's still at her steak dinner for eight.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. This is a fun storyline. This gives us a couple of good little spider cracks. This is like the, you know,
spider webs.
Spider webs. No, like a crack in a car where it starts to spider.
It's a spider web. Yes, that's called spider webbing.
Oh.
And when
that's what it's called?
Because they, I mean, they reference it on different medical shows when they say like that there was someone in a car accident, they'll say, oh, you need to look for specific head trauma because there's spider webbing on the windshield, which I guess is like means there is a certain amount of impact from a head.
So they're
like, you really got to check because they really fucked up this windshield.
Well, we get this new guy named Eli.
Yes. Tell me your thoughts on Eli.
Indifferent right now because I think my initial dislike for him was canceled out by my ending like for him.
So you did not like when he gave Lexi pushback?
I did not like that. But I think the scene that won me over was when Mark was like, hey dude,
so funny.
Don't mean to step on your turf over here, but this, you know, Dr. Gray,
I do need you to pretend to have this conversation with me so that I can get some.
Yeah. So really, Eli gets Lexi and Mark back together is kind of what I'm seeing from here. Yeah. Eli is the matchmaker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I ended up liking him, and I know we'll get more into these dialogue moments, but I thought originally, I was like, I'm not going to like this guy. And then I was like, where's the other nurse guy? Where's the other guy? Tyler. Where is Tyler?
It's been a while since we've had really a
and where is Olivia?
Exactly. She's in D.C., running command.
Olivia becomes Olivia Pope.
Well, we won't say that.
No.
Because the implications of blackface are bad.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes.
I was mostly just making the note that they have the same name.
I know. I took it to a different level and I didn't stop to think sometimes that I'm stupid.
Sometimes he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that you're self-aware today. Sometimes you're not, but today's a good day for you.
I'm feeling very self-aware. You know, I have worked out every single day in the month of July.
Wow. Okay. Congratulations.
Why did you get so, well, what did you think? What amount of time did you think I was going to say?
Like a week.
I have worked out every single day this week.
Good job. That's
of July.
And so you mean Monday and Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to stop.
Sunday, I got a milkshake.
I got a milkshake last night.
Oh, vanilla?
Oh my gosh, I have to. No.
Oh. Ugh,
I have to tell this story. So sorry. Michael last night took Watson to his graduation class for his intermediate level of training, and he graduated. Woo-hoo! And then he was like, I'll drive through. Where do you want? And I said, Jack's. So he went to Jack's. He orders, and there was one car in front of him. And between Michael ordering and pulling up to the car, to behind the car at the window, apparently they came out and told both cars that some employee rage quit in that like very short time span, to the point where they took all the food that was prepared and like hurled it on the floor and like unplugged all the computers. So no one even knew who was getting what or what needed to be made or remade. And I was like, that is insane that actually happens.
I wish I could have seen it.
Same.
Did you get your food?
Oh, yeah. And they were, okay. He was like, they were super nice about it. Like the manager was helping. And then he said he like drove around. So Jax is, I don't know if anywhere else has this really, but Jax is a fast food place, but they have breakfast and lunch and dinner all day.
I've never heard of this. So we'll need eat there when I'm there next.
But they have rocking chairs outside.
Oh.
And so he went around, when he drove around front, the manager was like walking out and he said, just sat down in the rocking chair and was just like, So sorry.
That's a vibe. That's,
yeah.
I think if I had people on my team, like if that was a rage quit and that's how they went out and they unplugged everything and they, you know, whatever, I think I also be like, guys, look, we're going to get this fixed, but I need 1 minute. I need a minute.
Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't like slammed. It was just the two cars and like, no, because it was like 9 o'clock at night or something. So, but I was like, wow, what a time. What a scene to make.
It makes you wonder what happened. It was if it wasn't busy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways. OK, sorry for that tangent. But yeah, so what are we talking about? Bailey. OK, Bailey, Eli. Eli's telling Lexi, like, oh, I'm not going to do what you want because I know what works and I'm going to do it because I'm right. And then, like, kind of has receipts to back that up. So they put it, they compare everything, they put it all together, and he is right. If you remove whatever drain from the pancreatic surgery on day 3 versus day 5, there's a 12% complication rate of fistulas versus a 42%, which is huge. That number, 30% in like a medical setting, is like large.
That's huge. Yeah.
So they kind of connect all these dots, they put it together, and Bailey's like, this is it, this is what we're gonna, this is the change we found. So this all happens simultaneously because Bailey at the beginning of the episode is removing a gallbladder through someone's mouth, and she says, I will let whoever comes up with the fistula solve do this procedure. This episode is a great example of why I didn't stop disliking April. What the fuck is her deal with Lexi in this episode?
I don't know.
Shut the fuck up. Like, she's, I cannot get over it. I'm like, you're not being nice and it's being taken the wrong way. Like, you're intentionally being terrible.
Do you think that's what's happening?
Yes, because so Lexi says in the surgery, when Bailey's like, do you want to do this? And Lexi says, when I was little, I really, really, really wanted a pony. This feels like that. So then later in the episode, April's like, oh my God, I wanted a pony when I was little too. And you know what happened? I worked really hard and I got a pony. Okay.
And then walks away.
Yes. And then later on is like, do you know what my pony's name was? Sparkles, which is a stupid ass name for a pony.
Yeah.
It's a great name for a unicorn. It's a stupid name for a pony.
Right. Right.
Anyways. So yeah, I don't, did you have a different read on what April was doing?
I thought that she was like trying to play the game a little bit and like get in Lexi's head, but I did not feel like it was the first one with the, I worked really hard and I got a pony. I didn't think too much of it. Cause wasn't she from a farm? Like, wouldn't it make sense that she had a pony?
Yeah, but like,
I don't know.
The presentation of it versus like, obviously Lexi didn't get a pony.
It
so she's
felt,
like, well, I'm going to work harder and I'm going to win this and fuck you.
It felt like when Callie was trying to purposefully get into Arizona's head, be like, who you want a Kleenex? Oh, it's going to be tough with Weber. You're going to cry for your presentation. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
It is definitely similar, but for whatever reason because Callie did that to everybody. Like, Callie was trying to get in everyone's head. And for whatever reason, this one really rubbed me the wrong way because it felt so pointed just toward Lexi. And I was like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I didn't feel too much anger or hatred. I think I've gotten to a point where I forgive April enough that I'm not annoyed by everything. Mm-hmm. But I did that first one where you said I worked really hard and I got it. Definitely gave me like boomer Republican vibes where it's like, you got to cut out your, listen, I wanted a pony too, and all I had to do was stop having avocado toast, and I went to college, bought a house, and I got a pony
for one low cost of $5.
Yeah,
why don't you do that, you dumbass millennial? Anyways,
yeah, so that, I don't know, I wasn't like super annoyed, but it did at one point occur to me that she was only doing it to Lexi and not to Jackson.
Yeah,
but they seem like closer friends than April and Lexi. So I just didn't read too much into it, I don't think.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. So, anything else with, Bailey and Eli, he asked,
yeah,
her
like this whole storyline.
End.
I have like a lot of thoughts.
Oh,
I feel like
okay.
We've skipped a lot.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, no, I mean, so I in the beginning, so there's a couple of things that I have where it's funny that when Bailey's announcing this, they're all like, we got to go.
Yeah. They're like, oh, right. I got to go do the thing that you want us to do.
Yeah. And it's funny because then Weber goes, "You're a mad genius." And she goes, "If I was a genius, I would have cured fistulas already." And I'm like,
She's really fixated on this.
On the fistulas. So
she needs a win. She needs a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they're walking around and Jackson's like, "Oh, this is my lady. She's walking around. Isn't this great? And she's like, "Can I go back to... I've been walking for 3 days." And he's like, "One more lap, lady." It's like Ben Stiller in Happy Gilmore. You know, make me blankets and I'm going to sell them on the internet. Anyways, that was funny. So when I first met Eli, though, he was like, I was like, what are you doing not listening to Lexi? How dare you not listen to Lexi? Mm-hmm. I didn't like that she immediately went to get Mark involved. But when Mark did get involved and he's like bartering the drinks, I thought that was very funny.
"You have to go have drinks with me." And then Eli's like, "What's in it for me?" And he's like, "I'll give you Seahawks box seats." That's parking? That's a good win.
That's a big... Well, they kiss at the end. So it's not very one-sided. I feel like it's pretty even in the end because apparently really loves his fantasy football. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I am the best nurse around because it takes away time. Mistakes take away time from my fantasy football." So true,
Eli.
I'm like, respect. If everyone had that kind of work ethic to just not make mistakes so that you can... play fantasy
football.
You just
gotta prioritize, you know? Whatever your reason is, sometimes it's saving lives. Sometimes it's just not wasting your time so you can get on that fantasy football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although he does say, "I don't do protocols, I treat patients," which is a good outlook.
Yeah.
A good mindset. I appreciate that there clearly is a level of compassion that he has. And I like his whole speech to Lexi when he's like, "You come and you go, but this is my home and you're a guest. And right now you're not welcome here. So fuck right off."
Yeah, that was pretty... It honestly, the thing I like most about these medical shows, and for anyone who is on Patreon, had a chance to listen to... hopefully had a chance to listen to our friend Layla, who is in the medical field, kind of talk about some of the nursing side of things. I think medical shows really do a pretty decent job at illustrating the fact that nothing gets done without nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have moments like this with Eli going and saying, "Bailey, I get that I'm handsome. Like, don't worry. We see it. But you love having me on your cases because you know you have nothing to worry about. You know that I take care of the patients." And then when Mark walks up and he's like, "Hey, dude, like, I get it. I'm not trying to have any beef, but let's talk this out and make it look like I'm doing the right thing." It's just, I'm not saying that there's like a power struggle, because there definitely is. And like, I think it's natural with these kind of hierarchies, which Mr. Tony Stark decided he needed to yell at Alex and Meredith about last week. But I really like seeing that dynamic play out. And I am curious if this Eli guy is a one-time thing. That kind of sucks, but I feel like he's going to be maybe an in and out character for a while, especially because Bailey agreed to go on, you know, have a drink with him.
Right.
So
what are your thoughts on that part? The him being like, "I want to date Dr. Bailey" aspect.
Great. I love it. Okay. But I'm annoyed that it's on the heels of last episode where Bailey was like, "I miss my Ben." If you're willing to go on a date with this guy, why don't you just call Ben back? Call Dr. Warren and say, I'm ready. I'm not just tape and band-aids right now.
Yeah.
Glue. Yeah. So like, you know. I like that he's only asking once. Mark seems to be pushing the HR boundary a little bit, but
yeah, I had a similar note. It's hard because I love Mark so much, but I am just that he's flawed.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't page me because you love me. And when she says, "Okay, whatever," like, fine. Yes,
well,
Mark,
when he says, "I miss you," and she's like, "Whatever." And he says, "Oh, you don't miss me." And she's, "No, I do not. Please leave me alone." Also,
clearly she does, though.
5 minutes earlier, he's asking Callie for shower sex.
I mean,
which, like, honestly, I don't really have a problem with their relationship.
That is purely transactional, and I don't really feel too bad about
that. It's just such like the pure and actual friends with benefits situation versus, again, I said this before, every other time that scenario is presented, like, the people are like, "Oh, we're actually in love," and that's so not the Callie and Mark vibe, and that's why I really like it. And also, like, get yours, whatever. If you're horny, get it. Yeah. At least, you know, you know.
And they're
person.
Both attractive
you history,
people.
You know,
like,
that they're sexually clean.
Yeah. And they're they both, it sounds like, as the writers are trying to make us believe, that they're both pretty good at sex. So
yeah, I have no issue believing that.
Yeah. No. I don't think that that's something that has crossed my mind, that there's like a, it's not. So, that was a, should we just end with that funny scene? Like, should we just talk about that real quick?
Starting with them in the shower and they're showering together, just sharing space, being efficient with their time.
Yeah.
And Mark's like, hey, do you want to fuck real quick? Like, start the morning off right. And she's like, no, like, I'm just kind of sad about Arizona when we have sex. And he's like, oh, no, I get it. Like, I was thinking about Lexi. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How dare you?
Yeah. What did he say? I need more consonants. I need to use more consonants.
Yeah. So because she's brushing her teeth. And so she's like, why would I can't believe you would think about Lexi when we're having sex. And he's like, you just said sex with me makes you sad. And he's like, she's like, yeah, but I'm good at sex. I'm like, OK, settle down. I think he's also good at sex.
Well, and he even points out, he's like, that's why I suggested to have sex. like, what are you talking about? Also, I don't, for all the men out there who listen. Do you the face shave in the shower? I've never once in my life done a shower shave. I never have shaved in the shower.
I mean, like, I always see those like mirrors that you stick in the shower, and yeah, it's specifically for that. So
I feel like it just gets too like steamy in there.
Well,
and I can't.
So actually, it's better to shave after a steam because it opens up your pores, so you're less likely to get like ingrown hairs or like snags or anything like that. But I don't know that it's easier. That's what I've been told.
I don't even remember the last time I used a razor on my face. Don't even think I could tell you. It's been years. It's been pre-COVID, before. I don't know. Actually, I cannot think of the time where I used a razor on my face with shaving cream and aftershave and all that. So hopefully never again. Although I did find a couple of gray hairs in my beard, so.
Oh, well, you know, a little salt and pepper. We love to see
it. I left them. I said, yeah, whatever, you know. They're my stress hairs. They're my Jessica hairs.
Phasma hairs.
They are the Phasma. She's got some gray hairs, too, actually.
Well, she's stressed. You people are stressful.
Well, sir.
She does live a good life, though. All right, well, we'll wrap this one up, and we'll discuss literally everything else in the next episode after we start with everyone's favorite segment.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.